This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to Market Talk, in what will be actually our last episode for the summer. This week, we'll be perusing US payrolls, detailing what the Delta variant means for stock market risk, and wrapping up on the corporate earnings season. Asking the questions is me, Frances Watson, and answering them is our fount of all investment knowledge, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Frances. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. And I know you had a mini break last week, and I know it was fab, and I'm really pleased for you. Right, let's get to work on the markets then. The dollar's trading a bit firmer today on the back of those payrolls and the fall in unemployment. I mean, they weren't too shabby numbers, were they?
They were pretty strong. We've been looking for the last couple of months at maybe hitting a million payrolls per month, you know, additional employed people. But we'd missed them for a couple of months. This time around, we got 943,000. But if you add in the revisions for the last couple of months of another 119,000, I guess we got to that million number. So that was a decent chunk off the people who are sitting on their sofas watching Netflix. Need to get back employed. So that took a chunk off the unemployment rate, as you say, down to 5.4%. And we've already recovered in a little over a year what took multiple years after the financial crisis 2008 in order to that sort of decline in employment. So it's been rapid, and maybe that'll start to make the Federal Reserve think about when they want to do tapering, probably still in the same type of timetable that we've been talking about. I think they'll be discussing it in the next meeting in September with a view to potentially starting tapering in December. And that's what's key for markets, remember. So it was pretty strong, but probably doesn't bring forward that decision too much.
Yeah, and interesting about that, and I know we'll probably allude to tapering a little bit later on as well, but against that, we've still got impacting growth, the COVID caseloads, which in the UK are falling, but EU, Japan, US, the Delta variant is still rising.
It is a concern, of course. However, what we've seen in the UK is positive news, as you say, and that makes everyone hope that those countries with a similar high level of vaccination can have a similar type of experience, which is that infections increase, but not to the level where hospitalizations are really impacted. We are starting to see some of the real-time data out of countries like the US turn down a little. It does feel as though people are self-isolating, self-restricting, and that is impacting growth to some degree. As you say, that's probably the biggest negative right now. But hopefully we're not going to see a repeat of those lockdowns that we had all of last year and earlier this year, right?
Well, yeah, and I think that's to the point of the BOE's possible message, isn't it? That we are coming out of lockdown. Well, we are at a lockdown. Inflation is rising, and there could be modest tightening.
The Bank of England was the last of the big central banks to opine, and they were out last week. And as you say, They said that some modest tightening of monetary policy over the forecast period is likely to be necessary. But the forecast period is 3 years, so that shouldn't really surprise anyone. If we're still in this situation in 3 years' time, then crikey, all bets are off, aren't they? So it's the same message that everyone has said over the biggest central banks. We're okay for now. We're certainly happy to keep monetary policy loose, to keep supporting markets. But there will be a time in the not too distant future where we have to tap the brakes, but not right now, I think.
Now, interesting, because talking of tapping the brakes, your team, and you form part of the asset allocation team, Ben, you're trimming risk based on, well, you explain it to us. We've got actually a blog on this on Elgin Blog, if anyone wants to read further, but just tell us what your current thoughts are, if you would.
Yeah, Emil's written a really good blog about it, as you say, and it's to do with the Delta variant, and it's actually to do specifically with China. China's one of those countries that has accelerated the vaccination process, so there is some decent protection there, but we know that, we don't know anything for sure about the infections, of course, but it looks as though the Chinese vaccinations are not as efficient, perhaps, as as other vaccinations, and also perhaps they haven't vaccinated all of their most vulnerable parts of society. So there is a risk, if the Delta variant starts to take hold in China, that we would see some more material impact in terms of restrictions in China. That could have some domestic impact, of course, in terms of growth. Could also have some impact in terms of demand for commodities. That's probably the one place that we're looking specifically at. And we, funnily enough, we did see some commodity weakness over the last few days. Perhaps other people are looking at this as well. But it's more the global growth impact if China was to have more restrictions due to the Delta variant that we're a little bit worried about.
Saw that. Gold and oil both sharply down for the moment. Now, tapering talk, with it firmly being on the table, as it is for the moment, of course, one beneficiary of all of this is the bank shares.
Yeah, we saw last week the impact of better payroll data. And actually, it was happening before then as well. We did see yields start to increase a little bit last week. This is from a very low base, so let's not get too excited about it. But yeah, Treasury bond yields have gone up a little bit. And that generally tends to benefit bank equity. That, you know, banks can generally earn a little bit more when yields are a little bit higher. The curves are a little bit steeper. That's the correlation. So yes, actually, bank equities were the outperformer last week within the S&P 500, which, remember, at the end of last week was again at an all-time high. This is still extremely positive environment for equities. They're doing very well. It's another reason actually why we're taking a bit of risk off here. The valuations are pretty high and pricing in an awful lot of good news, even on a week where we had a bit of mixed data, like I said, in the Delta variant, hitting an all-time high because the banks were doing well because of higher yields.
Mm. So now this week, obviously people winding down for the summer, a little bit quieter. So we've got UK GDP on Thursday, and we've also got the last of the company news announcements. So what's taking your eye this week, Ben?
Yeah, you're right. GDP for the UK, it's going to be a very high number after what we saw in Q1, which was a negative print because of all the lockdowns. It's going to be positive in Q2, I assume, just because of the opening up of the economy. We've also got US inflation, which I think is interesting, very interesting, in the light of what we saw in terms of strong payroll data. Remember, we've had a few very, very strong inflation prints out of the US. We'll probably get another chunky print. The real-time data on things like used car prices, which were really pushing inflation higher over the last couple of months, they look as though they've rolled over a little bit. Maybe some of those supply bottlenecks are not quite as bad as they were before. So perhaps we won't get quite as high a print in inflation as we've seen over the last couple of months, but we have said that over the last couple of months, and we've been wrong. If we were to see another big print in inflation, again, that would impact the Fed's mentality, that when they are going to talk about tapering. So that is important. Earnings season, just briefly, very, very strong. Earnings growth, basically 100%. The earnings are double what they were this time last year, but it's not hard to beat this time last year. Remember, we were in the thick of it. But the beats have been very strong. So companies have generally been beating analyst expectations. And like I said, I think this is all contributing to a very strong equity market.
Right. So as regular listeners to Market Talk will know, we always end these podcasts with a number, Ben. What's your number for this week and why?
We said at the beginning that we're going to have a little bit of a break, so I think we'll use the number 6. And that is because the next episode is going to be on Monday, the 6th of September. So until then, we will be we'll be looking at markets in the summer lull, and we'll have a lot to talk about, I think, on the 6th of September.
We will, and I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, Ben, I hope you get a bit more rest. And for all our listeners, wherever you're going, whether it's staycation or overseas, have a lovely time. And most of all, stay safe. Ben, thank you for all the episodes of Market Talk we've done so far, and looking forward to many more. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating, or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous, on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, elgim.com.